So the becoming the best you, so two questions came to mind. And these would be the two questions that I would like you to think about. You know? What drives you to become the best version of yourself? And what drives your decisions? Oh, I like that you are taking picture. It's a good picture to take, because as you ponder on these questions, you know, it would be meaningful and it will give you the drive. All right. So as I was pondering these questions, the first one, what drives me to become the best version of myself? So for me, everybody's drive is different. But for me, it's my calling, my purpose in life. God saved me. I grew up in a Christian home, like most of you, but I had an encounter with God in my youth. I think I was 16 or 17, 16, November 16, can't forget. And on that day, I felt that I have a higher calling. You know, I felt that, you know, there's more to life than just being me. I just had this surge of energy that I live for a purpose, that God has a plan for me, and His plan is amazing. Just like what Michael shared, you know, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And when Joe was leading us in worship today, it's amazing, thank you. And I saw this big word, purpose. And this is what I want to tell you, young people. Live for God's purposes for your life. Because you know what? You will not be disappointed. And thank you for your testimony. You know, we need young counselors that will listen. That will listen to what God is saying, not just for themselves, but to the world around you. And we live in a broken world. We do live in a broken world. And thank you. And I pray that, you know, God will just refresh you every day, you know, new passion every day, revive you every day, that you can be all that God has called you to be for this generation. So, 16 years old, that was many years ago. I'm 44 now. So I've been living a purposeful life since then. Never in my mind I thought of, is this it? You know, all through challenges of my life, you know, I just hang on to God. So that's my drive. My calling is my drive to be the best version of yourself. So next question, what drives my decisions? Why I do what I do? So what drives my decisions are actually my values and my standards. So what are your values, young people? What are your standards? Your values make you who you are, but your standards define what you're willing to accept in life. Will I tell you something that is so precious, that is so valuable to me, that even if you give me the whole world, $1 million, somebody would like millions, but I don't have a million, so if you give me $1 million, that's really, really a lot, but I wouldn't trade it for this thing that is so precious and that is so valuable to me. And that value is the Word of God. So since I was 16, I live by His Word. I cling on it. I trust it. I acknowledge it. And it has guided my path for many, many years, many, many tears, you know, through my walk with Him. And I just love the verses that Mike quoted earlier. They're just so powerful. You know, Especially the last one about God establishing your ways. Commit your ways to the Lord and He will establish you. Look at this building, how many years it has been around, and God has established it. You know, it has nourished many lives, refreshed many hearts, and it's amazing when God establishes something in your life. Okay? So the most important thing for me, I value the Word of God. And I also value the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience. I value honesty, integrity, punctuality. What else? What do I value, girls? Cleanliness. Thank you. Oh, okay, I'll stop there. Family secrets are coming up. Okay, so these values make me who I am today. But my standards define what I am willing to accept in life. Okay, for example, I said that I value the Word of God. So every morning before school, we do our devotion as a family. We choose a passage from the Bible and read together. And the standard that I've set is not just reading, you know, close the book and let's go to school. But I say, let's talk about it. Let's pray about what we have read. Then go to school. So that is the standard that I have set as a family for our family. That's one standard. But, you know, as mom, I'm sure your parents, they would have standards, okay? So standards in my family goes like that. David will go, Justine, have you cleaned your room? Justine will say, yes, I've cleaned my room. Your standard, daddy's standard, or mommy's standard? And depends on what mood I am, and I will say, I'll come and check your room. And then she will go, what would you say? Not yet. No, don't come to my room. Don't come to my room. So, you know, I value peace in a house because nobody likes an angry mom. Nobody likes a yelling mom, of course. So like David say, I value cleanliness. So Justine will say, wait. Okay. And I will say, I will come and check your room in 1 hour's time. And sometimes I have to communicate my standards. Like, you know, I would like to see the carpet in your room. Sorry, Justine, love you. And then I said, you know, like your dressing table, if it's dusty, can you please like wipe them? You know, and then the windows, if you see a little bit dust, you know, can you take these wipes and wipe them? And when she does all that, oh, mommy, come and check my room now, mommy. Look. And I would be so busy, she would go, come on, mommy, have you checked my room? You haven't seen my room. And I would enter the room, and amazing, up to my standard. Not only that, she would arrange her bed, you know, it would be so straight. You know, I could take a ruler and measure, you know, it's so straight. I kid you not, that's Justine. So this is just bedroom. And it goes the same with only when guests comes to my house, I would ensure that the toilet is clean. I think it only happens in my house. I'm sure you have clean houses, right? Polished houses. See, I wouldn't mind having a cleaner to come once a week, but my girls, my husband, they say, no. It's invading our privacy. But then when they do cleaning, it's not up to my... Yes! So when I say clean the bathroom, they would just clean the toilet bowl. And because I value peace, you know, I value relationship. I value harmony in a house. So when I know guest is coming and I have a little bit of time, I will wash the whole toilet, like the top of it, right to the bottom, the edges, the side. I'll go to the sink and wipe the... you know what I mean. What I'm saying is, I'm just, you know, value and standards. What you value is something that you put effort in. I value cleanliness. I value my guests that comes to my house. They feel comfortable in a nice, clean toilet. So I spend time cleaning, okay? So your value, whatever your value is, will determine your drive. And your standards will define what you are willing to accept in life. So these two questions, you know, have guided me through my, what is 44 minus 16? Come on. Tell me, please, please. Sorry? 38? No, 28. Okay. So values change as we grow, as we mature. You know, our values change. Our standards change, depends on what we value. I've learned to value relationship over cleanliness. You know, I tend to value being together in harmony rather than being right all the time. Okay, I'm still in a journey of learning that I'm not always right. Okay, I'm still there. It's been 28 years walking with God, but I'm still work in progress. Okay? All right. So, where am I? So, what drives you to become the best version of myself is my calling. I find that I'm called to be bigger than this when I was young, and my values and my standards drives my decision. So now, in the next slide, I have curated a menu that will take you on a journey of how, by the grace of God, through leaning on Him, abiding in His word, acknowledge Him, loving the Word of God. You know, like I live and breathe the Word of God. And how by doing that, I'm able to be the best version of myself at each milestone, season, and station of my life. I am able to be the best version of myself to my family, my friends, my community, to my students, to the nation, and preferably to the world. All right, I hope I can work this thing. Yes, welcome to my menu. So this is my menu. I'll give you some time to read my menu, okay? We're not going through all of this today. I don't think you want to hear my boring life. Okay? So the recipe is here. Not recipe, maybe how to assemble this food to you, okay? So I have it here. So I can tell you, number one, childhood, because I don't remember much. That's the shortest. So when you go to a restaurant, they are like bread rolls served with butter. Very easy to eat and finish. And then I can tell you what are the mains. So the mains would be my work life. And this is very close to me because it's a promise from God for me since I was 19, 20. And I feel that every day, I'm living God's promises for my life, and it's really special. So that would be the main menu. And victory over cancer, that would be another mains. So I don't think we have time for two mains today. What time do I have? No, you have to tell me the time, because in this menu, there's no dessert. And I love desserts. So whether you like it or not, you are going to be served dessert, a special dessert, okay? So, what? I have 20 minutes. Okay, somebody do the maths, please. What time do I have to stop? 9:20? Okay, so you can choose whatever in the menu, and I will tell my story about how clinging on to the Word of God has driven the decisions that I've chosen in life and how it has rewarded me, you know, so that I can be the best version of myself. So if 9:20, I will stop at 9:15 so that I can serve all of you dessert, okay? All right, so who would like to be the first one to choose? Oh, that one? You straight away go to the mains. You don't want to hear, you know, you don't want bread rolls or... Oh, really? Wait. Is that what everybody wants to hear? What do... Oh, okay. Okay, okay. Let me see your hands. Is that what you really, really want to hear? I only see one, two. Hey, higher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, 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 okay. Got you. All right. Oh, the notes are so long. Sure, yeah. Oh, I thought, all right, okay, okay. So I had breast cancer. So one day I was driving and I felt an itch under my arm. So I scratched and scratched towards, I don't know how, but I scratched towards my breast and I felt a tiny lump the size of a red bean. Do you know the size of a red bean? You know, like the Asian dessert, okay? Just example, it's not squash, but you know red bean? So go to the, yeah, very, very small. It was, I felt exactly like that. It was that hard and that small, okay? So I thought, let's go get it checked. So I went to the doctor to get an ultrasound. All looks good except for the architecture of the lump. And I was given a choice to wait 6 months, then repeat the ultrasound or do a biopsy. Well, I decided on a biopsy. So I remembered it was Wednesday morning before my biopsy, as usual. You know, as a family, the girls were a lot younger than. Justine was 9. Shannon was 14. Okay. So we will pray on our way to school. So I get them to practice listening to God. You know, so I'll drive and then I'll say, okay, what is God saying to you today? You know, is He showing you a picture? Is He giving you a word, a color? What is He saying to you this morning? So I drive. Oh, and I told my kids about, I discovered this lump. I think it's nothing, but I'm going for a biopsy today. You know, they're just going to check. You know, they're just going to check the lump. Okay. She was 14 then, and she prayed, and she said this. She saw a picture of an angel hovering over me and taking my lump and remove cancer cells. She did not doubt. She did not hesitate, or she was unsure. She just said it as it is. I remembered I was shocked because I did not say anything about cancer. And you know, lumps, it could be fatty tissues, it could be anything, you know? Well, I had cancer, all right? So I think God must have been preparing my kids for what is to come. Okay. And then during the biopsy, the technician, I don't know, the doctor, it was a team, the radiologist. I can't remember who was there, but they discovered two lumps. I felt one, but they discovered two lumps. And I heard shadow dance. And I had a sinking feeling that it might be cancer. So that's Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay, 4 days. So that weekend at church, Justine gave me this little thing that she got from church. Oh, you can't see that. Okay, so it's basically in that round thing is a seed. And the seed says, oh, and the word there, if you can see the word there, it says, faith like a mustard seed. And I felt that it was a present from God to her. So it's taken from Matthew 17:20. Until today, that is Justine's favorite verse. So this scripture says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Again, I think God is preparing my kids for what to come. And most of all, God is assuring them that I will be well. Because Justine had this faith like a mustard seed. Whoa, thank you. So I've kept this for 3 years and it's still with me in my bag. And I always remember this, faith like a mustard seed. And in that, oh, can you see the little mustard seed? It's so small. And all you need is faith like a mustard seed and you can move mountains. So I didn't know the lump was cancer yet. But God has been preparing my kids. Shannon saw an angel hovering over me and removed the lump and removed cancer cells. Justine had this at church. And on the same day, Justine said she wanted to be water baptized. So, results was out the week after and, surprise, surprise, no surprise, it was cancer. It was low grade, they call it DCIS, precancerous, not yet cancer, but heading towards there. The day was Friday, you know, the day I got the results was Friday, and thank God I have an appointment with the surgeon on Monday. And you know what? I felt really all right. I thought, oh, early detection is precancer. My lump is so small, it would be just a day procedure to remove it all and I will be well and I can get on with my life and nobody knows what has happened, just my family, and just like that, life will go back to normal. That's what I thought. So Monday, I went to see the surgeon alone because I told David, no big deal. No big deal. It's pre-cancer. It's nothing. It's so small. It'll just take a day procedure. You know, they take out the lump and I will be well. Chill. All right. At the surgeon's office, he did another scan and he saw lots of calcium deposits. And he said, you need a right mastectomy, which means my right breast has to be removed. And because I am young, he recommended implants. He said, oh, you can go for an upgrade to a bigger size. And you would look really good. That's not what I want to hear. You know, I'm so shocked that I had cancer. And then he goes to say again, you know what, with Medicare cover, you can get it for free. You don't have to go to Thailand, you know, and get those implants. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is not what I want to hear. But then he says, well, to confirm what he saw, you know, in the ultrasound, he needed a more sensitive scan. And he sent me for one. I remember it was at Monash. It's a... I can't remember what scan. And then he said this, he'll call me once he's got the results to chat about our next step. Okay. All right, I was shaken, okay? So I don't think it would be good news. And I remembered it was the Monday that I saw him. He got back the scan the same day. It was in the evening at 5 p.m. My world crumbled. He called and told me it's cancer. And he said this, best step forward, I need to remove my right breast and implants because I'm young. I put down the phone. David walked into the room. He just came back from work and I told him, oh, my day. And after that, I can't really think. I was too shocked, too numb. I don't even know how to process the news. I was so shocked because my mom did not have cancer. Cancer doesn't discriminate. So girls, if you have your mom, your sisters, or you know, as a girl, as a woman, you know, just check. Never know. Well, I was young, fit and healthy, no history of breast cancer. Well, later, like after my cancer treatment, I think it was before COVID, I found out that my grandmother had cancer. But you know what? It's not direct. Like, my mom did not have it. And when my world crumbled, you know, my kids were not with me. Justine was at a friend's, and Shannon was at church camp. So 17 days later, so the day I knew it was cancer, the day the doctor said I need to remove my right breast, you know, so 17 days later, I had my surgery. They took a few of my lymph nodes to check if cancer has spread. But thankfully, the cancer did not spread. So it was just simple right breast chop off, recovery, and then I was well. But you know, the 17 days of waiting, which was 2.5 weeks, was the most difficult waiting of my life. Because you don't know to what extent cancer has spread until they cut, they look into the tumor, and then they'll know. So that was really scary. But as a family, we lean on to Christ. My girlfriends rallied around me, dropped whatever they were doing, fasted, came to my house and prayed with me. I have two girlfriends who were away, not in Melbourne. One was in a cruise to Spain. Another was in Italy, and they Zoom in. Was it Zoom? FaceTime, Australian time. And they prayed with me. Called my mom, her church, my friends, their church, my church friends, and their network prayed for me. And most of all, the four of us, we prayed as a family. We worship as a family. Because I think for David and I, it's important to model, this is how we fight our battles. In worship, in prayer, in his presence. So we have a TV like that, and then we will pray worship songs. I'm not a guitarist like Joe. I can't play like you, Paul, you know? So I'll just have worship music, and that's good. And in worship, Justine drew this picture. Can you remember this, Justine? You were 9. It's not that clear, yeah? So she drew 2 pictures. It was 2 different worship time, and she actually wanted to save paper. So this was on the left, that was her first picture that she drew. And on the right was a second picture. And she said this. She said, without God, we can't reach it. But with God, all things will fall in place. So that's the second picture. I look at the picture. So remember, at that point of time, I was processing cancer, okay? So I wasn't really happy. When I look at the picture, I felt even worse. My daughter is so sad. She's not happy. And the tree is dying. So I thought that was how she felt. So I look at the picture and said, Justine, the leaves are falling. How do you know they are falling in place? And confidently, she said, Mommy, they are falling into place. That is falling into place. And I go, Justine, I don't see the leaves falling down. Like, it did. I don't see leaves on the ground. And she said this, that is falling into place. And I look at the picture again, and I see myself wanting so much of a miraculous healing. Okay, I'm a believer of healing. You know, I know God can heal because He's a big God. And I've heard stories after stories of how He has healed cancer, you know, how the lame can walk. And I have lived to see testimonies of my life of how amazing the God that we serve. So when I heard it was cancer, I went on my knees, I fasted, my friends fasted for me, you know, and I really, really believed God, expecting God for a miracle. I didn't want a surgery, and I wanted the lump to disappear. And from this picture, I felt God was saying, trust the process, and things will fall in place. And I asked Justine, what about the banana tree? She said, she tried to erase it because it doesn't make sense. And I asked, are you sad? That's why the leaves are falling? She said, no. They are autumn leaves. I like autumn. Autumn is my favorite season of the year. I can jump and play in the leaves. You remember you said that? No, you were 9 years old. Anyway, I don't remember this, but I have to go back to my WhatsApp and see the messages that I text people, my prayer group, okay? So I met a couple at church and showed them this picture. And you know what they said? Sharon, they are healing leaves. Revelation 22:2. And Revelation 47:12, they are healing leaves, healing to the nations. Oh, okay, I take that one. Better than falling leaves, you know? So I took that. And as for banana tree, this is what the couple said, God can make the impossible possible. Well, because He is God. You know, if God wants banana trees to grow like that, He can. But, you know, I just have to trust in the process. So the couple prayed for me, and if his wife saw the leaves were falling on me, you know, the healing leaves, and it was an encouragement to trust in the process. Thank you, people back there. Okay, so when I knew it was cancer, I broke the news to Shannon. Can you remember what you said, Shannon? So I broke to Shannon the news that I had cancer when I picked her up from camp. I told her that I need a mastectomy. You know, I need my right breast removed and implants. But before that, you know, before that surgery, before they put on an implant, I need to consult the plastic surgeon, you know, just to, you know, is this the right thing I want to do? You know, is this what I'm going for? Because my head is in a mess, you know, to process all this is just so hard. So I need to have a chat with someone, somebody, all right, to make the next choice. Do I want implants or not? So this is what Shannon said. Oh, mom, there's lots of dodgy plastic surgeons out there. Make sure you get a good one, you know? So that was what she said to me. I thought, oh, all right. Her spirits are up. No, she's not devastated. So, phew, thank you, Lord. And she said three words to me that day. Believe, belong, become. And she said this. Believe in your healing. She did not say believe in your miracle. She said, believe in your healing. Belong to your community. But life, we cannot journey life alone. We need friends that walk with God, who are faithful to lift you up when you're down, to pray for you when you are upset, and remove yourself from toxic friends. Just like, Mike, is that you? Just like what you shared earlier, that is so spot on. So this is what Shannon said. Believe in your healing. Belong to your community. Trust them. Because you need to be surrounded by godly people at that time. Good people. And the third thing she said, become. Become your potential. Every journey with God is never wasted. And I thank God I actually wrote down these three B's because I forgot. And I look at it again. Believe, mommy, believe in your healing. Belong to your community. Allow your girlfriends to just walk with you. Allow them to cook meals for you. Allow them to drive you around. Allow them to clean your home, you know? Belong to your community. And mom, become your potential. And it goes back to the day that I was saved. Not really saved, but the day where God changed my life when I was 16. Sharon, your life is more than this. And when I had cancer, I was reminded to become my potential. All right. Surgery came and go. I recovered well and chose just a mastectomy without implants. So I'm basically lopsided now. But because I'm small, it makes no difference. And my husband doesn't mind. He prefers me to be alive. And then just thinking, I don't want a foreign object in my body because implants, they just last for 10 years. And after that, you need to go for servicing, you know, things just like cars, you know, they just don't last. So ladies, if you think of implants, just to let you know, it wouldn't last. After 10 years, you know, you can upgrade, or there are also sensitivities that some people would reject it. So it doesn't fit everything. So where am I? All right, so I didn't want the hassle. Okay, got it chopped off. And as I was recovering at home, I scrolled through some devotions and I found this, The Curse is Broken. Okay, this devotion is Genesis 8. It's the story of Noah's Ark. You know the story, right? Noah's Ark. And Genesis 8 verse 4. Verse 4 says this, the ark rested in the seventh month of the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And guess what date was my surgery? The seventh month of the 17th day. What have I read? Well, anyway, the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th days of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So my cancer was removed on the seventh month, which is July, on the 17th day. So what a promise. The curse is broken. The flood receded and it landed on Mount Ararat where the curse is broken. And I felt that, you know, that's God's promise to me. On the 17th day of the seventh month, the curse is broken. So cancer will not come to my next generation and the generations after that. Yeah. Oh, so with that, I want to thank God. So interesting. It wasn't a miracle, but it was an amazing healing with a promise from God that that's it. He has dealt with cancer. It will not go down to my next generation. So I went back to work after 10 days. I looked so fresh, and my colleagues thought, oh, you just came back from a holiday? I said, no, I had cancer. You did? I said, yes, I did. So we thank God as a family. You know, we trusted God with the Noah's Ark story. And this is something that Justine drew. It's a very colorful picture. And Shannon chose, oh, not this one yet. So she said this. So she drew this, I can't remember. And this is what she said. My picture is about a little girl who's praying and goes on an amazing adventure. So at 9 years old, this was what she drew. She colored it. So it wasn't our family prayer time, but it was her own time. You know, she drew and then she said, Mommy, this is for you. You're going on for an adventure. Now quickly, let me go to my last picture. This is special to me. Now, I found out that I had cancer 1st of July. My birthday is 26th of June. Before Shannon knew that it was cancer, she wanted to give me something like a promise from God to take it with me to every doctor's appointment. Okay. This was before my biopsy results, before cancer. And I remember thinking, I wouldn't be doing that. You know, I don't want to visit doctors after doctors. But this is what she said. So these two wings, one represents goodness, another represents mercy, infinity. May goodness and mercy follow all the days of your life. So she gave me that for my birthday when she was 14. Yeah. So it's just a reminder for me. And what an encouragement through my darkest hour in life. My kids and my family are able to pray with me, listen to God for me, and encourage me. So that's really special. So it looks like I just shared one story today, the main menu. Okay. So my kids, my family can hear from God, and we can hear from God too. Because God speaks. God speaks because He is a very, very good God. So I'm going to serve dessert now. Because I love dessert. And I would want everyone to enjoy this dessert. Okay? So I want you to stay comfortable. You know, uncross your legs. Relax. Just relax, okay? No folding arms. Uncross your legs, Daddy. Okay, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Breathe in the presence of God. He is here. Deep breath. Breathe in, hold, breathe out. Bring your attention to your breath again, feel it. So breathe in, breathe out. Last time, breathe in. Breathe out. Now, imagine your happy place. It could be at the beach, at the forest, at the top of your hill, top of the hill, maybe your room, football field, your running path, your kitchen, I don't know, wherever that makes you the happiest. Stay there and continue to do what makes you the happiest. And you know what? Jesus is there too. Where is He? Is He near you? Is He beside you? Invite Him into your space. Invite Him to do what you are doing. Now look at Him. What does He want to show you, tell you, or talk to you about? What does He want to give you? He might remind you of a story, a verse, or a character in a Bible. Or He might give you a song. He might give you a picture. Or perhaps you can smell something. Maybe the smell of the ocean. Maybe He's giving you a color or colors. Ask Him about the colors. Perhaps He's calling you for an adventure. What's the adventure? Maybe a number. So God is good. And He has nice things to show you, tell you, and give you. Let's just wait and listen to what He has to say. For some, you might need more time with Jesus. So hang in the space. It's just between you and Him. Maybe you want to continue to run with Him, play with Him, or just hang out and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the colors. Thank you for the picture. Thank you for a new adventure." It's a time and space just between you and Him. No rush. No rush. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you seal what you are doing in each of their lives tonight. You seal it, that they will live purposeful life for you. Life with a purpose. Life with a great call. And may that great call be their value and the standard that they will accept and live by. Thank you, Jesus, for this church, and thank you for all the young people here. In Jesus' name, amen. So hold that thought, hold that picture, hold that color, go home, draw it. Or take a picture of it and cherish it. Because in difficult times, you remember today, God has whispered to you. God has showed you something, and it's so worth it. All right, live life with a purpose.